6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us here on this Thursday afternoon. Drying up quickly after we got dumped on in this area last night, but you got to love it. All right, love starting off the show when we can have great guests to join us to pack a punch here on this Thursday. And who better to do that than CU Buffs head coach Carl Durrell. Coach, always look forward to catching up with you. I know your schedule's absolutely crazy, but we appreciate you making some time for us.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's my pleasure to be on, and things are going great. So I appreciate you guys giving me the invitation to come on.
Yeah, Coach, anytime. And again, you know, looking at signing day a couple weeks ago, how much of a – and again, every program in the country is dealing with this, you know, with transfer portal, madness, chaos. I just picture this just absolute crazy freeway of players coming and going. How much of a relief was it just to get to signing day, to see some of these big names that you guys have been looking forward to getting to join your program? How much of a relief was it just to get to that day?
You know, it was a relief in both. You know, we have two signing days. We have one in December, which we signed the bulk of our class. We had, I think, 19 guys that signed in December. And then we had, you know, the additional probably 10 or 11 or so that we ended up getting through the transfer portal / on signing day this second signing period in February. So, you know, we ended up with 30 new members in our program, which we're really excited about. You know, those guys, you know, it does make recruiting very challenging, you know, when you know that the portal is a very, very, I would say, I call it nomadic action right now, that people are coming and going through the portal. But it's going pretty well. You know, I would say just the body of work and the work that we've done to replace some of the attrition that we lost, and then the additions that we've made are really significant pieces. You know, guys that we think that can help us, that in a lot of cases we think they're upgrades from the guys that may have left. So, you know, we felt really good about getting through that process and finishing that off in February.
How interesting is that, too? As you mentioned, with the two different signing day portions, so to speak, and in the in-between, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you're seeing names come and go. So suddenly, you know, you're trying to finish up signing day, but you're also left replacing some of those positions, too. So, again, as you said, just different challenges, kind of a different approach nowadays.
It is. It's a constant approach that I think is going to be a part of college athletics, you know, moving forward. You know, it's this portal thing is, you know, it could be a good thing, you know, and that's how we have to look at it as a program and institution. You know, we're getting a chance to bring in some guys that, you know, have some experience and, you know, have played and maybe have some plays under their belt, so that experience factor really is a big factor and why you would want to bring them in to get them to be impactful in your program early on. You know, that's probably the biggest advantage that I would say the portal provides you than a high school kid, because, you know, the high school kid hasn't played in college football yet, you know, and he's coming in, you know, most of the time in the summer, and he's still behind in terms of learning the systems that are in place, and, you know, let alone there might be some physical development that's needed, you know, for these guys that are coming in high school. So, you know, that's the reason why I think a lot of the universities are at the university level, these guys are really paying attention to these portals, because it's, you know, you're getting guys that are usually pretty much have the physical development and you can come in and plug them in and play. So, but there's advantages and disadvantages, believe me, but we're working through it, and it's been so far pretty positive for us.
We're talking to CU Buffs head coach Carl Durrell on our First Advantage Hotline. And do you look at the portal? I mean, like you said, there can be some good. There can be some positives on both sides for both the player and the program. But I've talked about this a lot, Coach. I like it, but I do feel like there's got to be way tighter restrictions as far as when a guy can go. It feels like at any point you can just drop out and move on, and that makes it difficult for the program. And I got to say, it seems like it makes it difficult for the player, too.
Well, it definitely makes it more difficult for me just because, you know, I agree completely with what you're saying, Brady. I just feel that the window of time to do it is pretty big. I mean, yeah. I agree, completely agree. I wish there was some restrictions on that. And then the other part is, you know, it is beneficial for both sides, but I would say it's you know, not everybody is going to be in a situation, though, of the, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. That's the question that I think is a little bit more of a challenge for some of these guys that particularly might have been a very impactful player for us this last season. And they may be going to a situation where they're not playing as much, you know. So, you know, those are the things that, you know, they have to weigh and consider, you know, when they make the decision to leave. And I would say for us, when we're picking up guys, you know, there's always challenges. There's transferable credits that, you know, some of the older players, particularly when they're juniors and seniors, that don't apply at our school. Or, you know, there's also these, you know, you might like a player because of his ability, but, you know, we're not able to get him into school. So those are some of our challenges from our side of it. So it is one of those things that it's going to be ironed out. There will be some regulations that will be in place, like we talked about earlier, in terms of the window of time. And I think even with the NIL situation that I'm sure is part of your topics of discussion too, you know, there's going to be some restrictions on that at some point in time as well. So, but it was definitely a challenging year, academic year, but hopefully there'll be some reform in both those areas that would kind of make it a little bit more proactive for everybody.
I'm always amazed at the process of recruiting anyway, Coach. I always love hearing coaches talk about that. I mean, as soon as you guys are always on the recruiting trail. But now, do you get the sense that, okay, we have to be looking forward, but also have to be looking backward as well to make sure, hey, guys, are you good? Are you good over here? Because we're heading out on the trail to try to get more players for this program. But at the same time, I need to show you guys the love and the attention, too. Is that kind of coming into play?
Oh, no question. I mean, I felt that way in hindsight, you know, our season ended in late November, and I went on the road recruiting that last week in November, and, you know, we had a handful of guys that week decided to go into the portal. So, and I didn't do, you know, kind of like an exit interview or an evaluation time of kind of recapping the season with our own current players and, you know, giving them some things, some hope to look forward to and some things to work on and, you know, and just to kind of get on the same page with them. I think you're absolutely correct. I felt like, you know, I could have maybe stopped some of that if I didn't go out and recruit so early. And I think that's actually something that's trying to get amended and put in legislation this year, is that creating some time for after the season that some coaches will have the ability to not go out to recruit. And maybe that first week after the season, you get a chance to, you know, continue to, you know, evaluate and recruit your own program that's on campus before going out to kind of supplement the program with newcomers. So that is definitely a big, big factor in this, Brady. So, we're ironing through it. You know, it's a process that I think we're all learning. And but I think all in all, we're in pretty good shape.
Coach, I feel like it's from the movie Jerry Maguire, if you've seen that, where he's got his star player, but he's down working the room with his other player, with Rod Tidwell, and then the star player gets jealous of that and wants to move on. That's one of the things that immediately goes to my brain, is looking at like a Jerry Maguire type situation.
Well, you got to recruit. That's what's on campus and what's coming on campus. It is definitely one of those things, and I think it's good for college football. I really do, because, you know, I don't want disgruntled players. I want players that feel like they have an impact in the program, that they're here and they feel like they're valued, that they're getting a great education, that they're getting a great football experience, that they're, you know, they feel like their careers are going in the direction that they want it to be. So that's the goal, right? But it's hard to make that goal for everybody across the board, and, you know, and in a lot of cases, sometimes it's the correct thing to do, which is trying to move on, to try to find a place to play if you're not playing. And, you know, so there's two sides to the coin. So, you know, my whole thing is that our communication has to be better, you know, both with our current players and keeping them, you know, involved and impacted in our program, and then obviously with the new ones that are coming in. So we'll have to work on both those areas, and you know, things will be fine.
We're talking to Colorado Buffaloes head coach Carl Durrell. A lot of new faces, obviously, this time of year when you look at the two portions of signing day, but several new coaches joining your staff, including Mike Sanford on the offensive coordinator side of the ball. Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to see how you guys work together.
Yeah, I am too. We're excited. There's a lot of new energy in our building. you know, not a lot of new energy on this fourth floor that I'm currently on. That's where our coaches' offices are. And, you know, there's some – these coaches are, that we were able to hire and kind of build off to into our 2022 staff is, you know, they're great coaches, great mentors. They're innovative. They get great energy. They're very passionate about young people. They like to invest time in terms of really developing these players both on and off the field. So, you know, I feel like this is the best staff I've been able to assemble since I've been here. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I know we are too, Coach. A couple more for you, and then we'll wrap this up. But how about the quarterback side of the ball? I know that was a big emphasis for you guys, just to bring in more competition as well for Brendan Lewis. But I know there's also the side where you – I know Sanford had mentioned, hey, we love his toughness. We love what he – that was kind of a growing year for him. But I know you're looking forward to just kind of seeing more competition going as you guys approach, obviously, spring and then into the fall camp.
Absolutely. And Brendan, for his body of work, what he was able to accomplish last year was, you know, I felt it was a solid year for him, for a first-year freshman playing. Played 12 games, started 12 games, you know, got the tail beat out of him, you know, from time to time. And, you know, he didn't throw a lot of interceptions. I said that all season long, how this guy, you know, he may hold on to the ball at times too long or he throws the ball away, but he does not just throw it up to people. And I think that's a really great quality for a young quarterback to have. And, you know, so he's got a lot to that I think he can feel proud about. And even though it didn't result to a lot of wins, but he got better, you know, and is going to learn from this experience going forward, you know, going into this spring. You know, JT Stroud's he's going to get a chance to get some work this spring. He's the one that had the knee injury, and, you know, he had surgery, but he's coming out of it. He's almost full go, and he won't be full go completely in the spring, but he'll be able to do some things. And then we added, you know, we have Drew Carter, who was our backup last year. We got Maddox Kopp, who has came into our program from Houston. And then we have a newcomer that's coming in this summer in Owen McCown, who's from Texas. So we feel like that position has gotten more competitive, and that's going to definitely create some great competition and some great development, and obviously give us the depth that we haven't had here in 2 years.
Well, we're looking forward to the competition, Coach. Looking forward to kind of seeing this team kind of round into shape here. Obviously, spring getting into that mode and into the fall. Just looking for. I'm already ready for football. We got done with the Super Bowl not long ago. I'm ready to rock and roll.
I know there is kind of a lull out there, right? Football season just ended, a Super Bowl, and it's like you're expecting some kind of game or something to happen this weekend. But guess what? Football's about done, you know, so we're going to have to, you know, we're thirsty and hungry for the season to start as well.
Yeah, Coach, always appreciate you. Love what you're putting together here. I'm excited to see it work together next year.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it, Brady.
All right, there's CU Buffs head coach Carl Durrell. They're looking to bounce back. They're looking to get that offense back on track. And it starts with the quarterback. I know that sounds like an easy thing to say. Starts with the quarterback. A lot of key players for them have transferred out, did transfer out. But I guess if you want to look at it this way, they didn't have a great season. So a lot of those key players that transferred out, maybe this is a situation for the Buffs where they can hit that reset button. I am looking forward to Mike Sanford. I think that Mike Sanford's going to be interesting for this offense, obviously with former Minnesota offensive coordinator coming over here to try to help sharpen up this offense and get it rolling again, get it to where they need it to be. And maybe, again, Carl Durrell's had two crazy years. I mean, the first year was the COVID year. And he was actually hired the latest of all the coaches we were talking about up here because of the Mel Tucker situation. So you have the COVID year. Well, they actually did pretty well. He was the Pac-12 coach of the year. Had Jarek Broussard was the Pac-12 player of the year. And then fast forward to this year, offense just could not get it going. And the Buffs had a very rough season, 4-8 in the 2021. So will we meet somewhere in the middle and see this Buffs team maybe get into two games more, and they're getting to a bowl game, and that's respectable. So will some of these moves result in two more wins? We'll find out. 20 minutes after the hour. We got a busy show today. We got Kevin Lytle coming on at 12:30. I think he's in Albuquerque, sporting a whole show hat, so he's repping us in New Mexico. We've got, here's a good one, the Outlaws of Moby, diehard fan base for the Colorado State Rams basketball team. And they're going to be going to Vegas for the Mountain West Conference tournament with some help from their friends including the Medveds. We're going to talk to them in studio in the second hour, so I'm looking forward to that. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Bears basketball on the Voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Austin Rivers looking to inbound, and Jokic has it. Remember, Looney's playing with the five fouls. Jokic getting to his sweet spot. Here comes the baby bunny, and we got a one-point game. Step back, three. Off iron, long rebound, Wiggins. Taking away Monte Morris. Monte Morris has a one-on-none, and Denver's got their first lead. Down to 10 and 8. Curry driving. Curry jumper. Look for the Joker. He's got it now. Down to 3 and 2. Jokic out to Morris. A 3 to win, and he got it! Denver wins it at the buzzer!
Denver wins it at the buzzer. Somehow, someway, they come back down 16. Was it at the half? They were down 16. They were down 16 at one point. And they come roaring back. They win this game 117-116. The Joker finds Monte Morris. And bam. Morris, like, I'm surprised by this stat, and I got to double check, but he's had a lot of buzzer beaters at the end of quarters before. I've seen him do that a lot, the end of the first or the end of the half. But that might be his first career, like, game-winning buzzer beater. That's crazy. He had 13 points, 6 assists in this game. Obviously, the big shot there. To win, to beat Golden State, to beat a Golden State team with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson with 16 points. He's still trying to round out of shape. Now, they're without Draymond Green, but still, that's a team that can do some damage. Golden State's going to do some damage. For the Nuggets to win that game, and obviously, we got the All-Star game, All-Star weekend coming up, so they get a break. They get to take a break with that taste in their mouth. That is a big deal for the Nuggets. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in their last 6 games. They went 5-1 in their last 6 heading into the All-Star break. Losing that tough one to Boston on last Friday night. So now they don't play until next Thursday. They're off until next Thursday. Got the All-Star break. Joker's starting in the All-Star game, and I believe Bones Highland is going to be officially... Let me get my numbers here, but yes, he is now going to be in the selected into the NBA's Rising Stars Challenge. So that's pretty cool. The NBA just announced that today, that rookie Bones Highland has been selected to the NBA's Rising Star Challenge as an injury replacement. Bones has been coming on strong. He's a big reason why this Nuggets team is pulling away from 500. So they're sitting at 33-25 with the All-Star break coming up. I think you absolutely look at this situation and say the Nuggets are ahead of schedule. There is no question in my mind. I figured, you know, at the All-Star break, if you could just maintain a game or two above 500, but they're sitting at 33-25. You know, 8 games over that 500 mark, and that you're still waiting on the Cavalry, man. You're still waiting on Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. to get back. And assuming they can give you anything, boy, I mean, imagine this. Monte Morris has been a very solid player for the Nuggets all year and during his career, his tenure with the Nuggets. I mean, imagine him coming off the bench. Imagine Morris being the point guard off the bench. You move Bones Highland out of maybe the point guard role. You maybe move him around in the two role coming off the bench. So you got Morris and Highland. Boogie Cousins, who they absolutely are going to re-sign. He has been a force for them, especially defensively, since they picked him up. So you got a backup unit coming in, if you're just doing the platoon effect, of whenever these guys get healthy. Monte Morris, Bones Highland, Boogie Cousins, you know, Jamichael Green. And again, Jeff Green, Jamichael Green, because when Porter's in, he's going to replace one of those guys. Probably, well, he'll replace Jeff Green, so it'll be Joker, Gordon, Porter, Barton, and Murray. And then the Greens are coming off the bench with Cousins, Highland, and Morris. Rivers is probably going to lose a lot of time. Forbes is in the mix, too. Forgot about Forbes, who's a very good addition. He had 22 points against the Warriors last night. So you can't forget about him at all. You got to be feeling really good about this team right now. They're sitting at, they're still in sixth place, have not been able to move the needle there so much, but they are making a push. The problem is all the teams in front of them are either making a better push or about the same. Dallas is sitting in fifth, 34-24. The Nuggets are a full game behind them. They're three games behind the fourth spot with Utah and seven games behind the third spot, Memphis, eight and a half games behind Golden State. Now, I don't think you can catch Golden State. I don't think you can catch Memphis, but they certainly can catch Utah. They certainly can catch Dallas and move up into that fourth spot. And the Joker, yet again, comes up with a monster night. 35 points, 8 assists, 17 rebounds, man. And then again, 13 of 24. He's shooting the ball. He's getting that ball out there. And finding guys that, I don't know if you saw the play, he drives to the lane. Finds Aaron Gordon underneath the basket. He's double-teamed. He finds Gordon underneath the basket. Oh, I love that take. That's such a good take. When those two are in sync, look out. Nuggets get the dub. All-star break. All-star weekend coming up next. And the Nuggets get to kind of sit on this on going 5-1 in their last six games. They get to sit on that. Got to feel pretty good if you're Michael Malone. Got to feel really good with where you are at this point, considering you're still playing without two of your very big focal points on this offense. We're going to talk to Kevin Lytle. Why is the Pit such a hard place to play, even when New Mexico is not as good? We'll talk to Kevin Lytle about that coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
After the 12 o'clock hour, the Colorado State Rams keep it rolling. They got a big one coming up tonight against New Mexico. And we all know if you're paying attention at all to this Mountain West Conference, it doesn't matter if New Mexico is completely defeated or undefeated. The Pit, as we know, is a very, very difficult place to play. Kevin Lytle joining us. Are you in the Pit yet? You're not there yet, but you're getting, are you in Albuquerque, my friend?
Yep, I've made it down to Albuquerque, and now just waiting for tip-off time, really.
I just picture you all like alone in a dark arena right now. Is that what's going on?
If only. I mean, I'd like to go, you know, maybe get into the Pit, put up some shots, and it would be best if it was dark, that way no one could see it.
Well, it was dark for the Rams, right? They're practicing again. Why does this keep happening? The lights go out on the Rams when they're practicing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Twice this year now, on the road, CSU's run into a lights out issue in the gym. It happened down the Virgin Islands during the Paradise Jam, but that one worked out all right. CSU went and won the tournament, so maybe it's a good omen for the Rams. But yeah, a little funny that this happened a couple times. Like, I don't really recall seeing that previously.
All right, so is there some shady stuff going on? We got some New Mexico diehard fans cutting some wires or anything, or is this just one of those things that happen?
Yeah, I'll see what the CSU folks say. I can't imagine. One of the reasons you don't do that is because teams visit the opposing arena as well, and you could really get into a back and forth battle of pranks, we'll call them, if you're doing that. So I don't think you won the conference is doing that, but who knows.
Kevin, why is the Pit? I always wonder, great places to play. And again, when you're a great team and you build up this awesome following, it's obvious. But even New Mexico, and I know they have a great following, but even when they're bad, that place is still a nightmare for visiting teams.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play. As most people can guess by the name The Pit, it's one of those that's kind of sunken down. the noise kind of cascades down. And New Mexico basketball fans are super passionate about the program. You know, it's funny, on the football side, New Mexico doesn't have a very big following. I'm not sure there's, a ton of passion around the program, but it's all channeled into basketball down here in Albuquerque. And they really get behind the Lobos and get on the Lobos. You know, the expectations are really high here, which is why we've seen, some slip in the last few years, some attendance dropping, but still, it's a place that's very passionate about their basketball. And, they just beat Wyoming here the other night. It's a place where ranked teams have a really, really poor record through the years. Obviously, part of that is New Mexico historically is pretty good, but part of it is it's just hard to go to the Pit and win.
Well, and the Rams haven't been there in a while, too, right, Kevin? Yeah. I mean, obviously, the last couple of years have been so strange. It's been a little while. There's a lot of players on this team that haven't been there.
Yeah, it's a super funny, weird stat is Adam Thistlewood and Kendall Moore are the only players on this roster who have played at the Pit.
Wow.
Because two years ago, every year there's one Mountain West team that you only play at home and you don't travel there. So 2 years ago, that was New Mexico. They went to Fort Collins, but CSU didn't return the trip to Albuquerque. And then last year, the schedules were all wonky because of COVID. And so you either played two games at home against the opponent or two games, at their site, and New Mexico came to Fort Collins, so CSU didn't go to the Pit. So, yeah, basically the entire roster has never played in this arena. So it's a very weird quirk, and especially with an arena like this, it'll be interesting to see how they, respond because, it is a tough place.
Hey, on one end, you can wonder and say, okay, is this going to be tough for the majority of this team because they haven't been there or not used to how the fan base is, the crowd and all that stuff? Or maybe because they haven't played there, they're kind of naive to it, so to speak, where maybe it's not going to bother them as much.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to guess. And the good thing is, CSU's played some tough road games, obviously, San Diego State at Viejas, one of the top ones. They just won at Boise State. So it's not like they haven't played on the road. Obviously, at Wyoming was super hostile. So they've played some road games here in the last few weeks. So I wouldn't expect it to be a huge thing. One thing, it's hard to quantify, but sometimes players just aren't comfortable in different gyms, sight lines and things like that. And the fact that they haven't seen these before, that can be a little bit of a factor. But, at the end of the day, basketball is basketball. And tough environment's a tough environment. But when you're trying to go to where CSU wants to go, you kind of have to figure it out.
Yeah, no question. I mean, if you want to be the top dog, you got to beat win in these tough environments. But as you mentioned, New Mexico beating Wyoming provides a wide open slot for CSU. Now the Rams sitting at 10-3, Wyoming's 10-2, Boise State's 11-2. Wow, this is a tight race as we round out these final five or six games. That's why this game's, again, every game's huge. But the Rams have an opening here where they can move up the ladder a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, CSU is now in a place where they, at least in a way, control their own destiny. If CSU were to win out in the regular season, the worst they could be is tied for first place, and then we would get into a bunch of different tiebreak scenarios, and those are pretty complicated, and we probably don't have time to go through all of them right now. But worst case scenario, if CSU wins out, is a tie for first. But that's a big if. I mean, that's five really tough games on the schedule, and New Mexico, it's one of those playing ones. They did CSU a great favor on Tuesday night, but now in turn, if you're a CSU fan, you're saying, well, they just beat Wyoming, so obviously they're good enough to beat teams at the top, so this game's going to be really tough. So that's the way this league is. I in my mailbag today, I wrote, I think it's highly likely that the conference title will in large part be decided by these teams at the bottom and who they beat. And, New Mexico just did that, obviously, by really opening the race up by beating Wyoming. So it's crazy right now.
All right, so what do the Rams have to do to avoid what happened to Wyoming the other night? Again, New Mexico, Wyoming didn't shoot very well, and New Mexico shot very well, plus they had a stud just take over that game in Jalen House with 34 points. I mean, honestly, Jamal Mashburn was great, too, and some of those key players for them really stepping up. We know New Mexico has that solid guard play.
Yeah, I mean, Mashburn Jr. and House are really high-level scorers. Jalen House in his last two Mountain West games has 76 total points. He went for 42 against Air Force and then was in the 30s against Wyoming. So he's obviously on fire. That's going to be a key thing for CSU. But really, how New Mexico was in it, back in Fort Collins was actually House didn't do a ton. Mashburn was good. I think he had 18, but two other guys, Jenkins and Johnson, had 16 and 17 each, or 17 and 18 each. And that secondary scoring is what New Mexico often doesn't have. So I think that's going to be key is, you can, as we've seen, CSU has had, plenty of games where a number one guy goes off, but as long as you keep everyone else down, you'll be all right. So that's going to be big. And, these are top two scoring teams in Mountain West, so we could have a lot of points. So whoever defends, just a little bit better is probably your winner.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Again, almost every game from here on out is expected to just be intense because, like you said, not so worried about the top of the conference, but it's these middle conference teams, the bottom barrel teams even, can do something that can shock you. And again, New Mexico, the record doesn't say that, but we know, if they catch fire, they can beat some tough teams in the mix. And obviously, UNLV's down the road as well. So some very tough matchups coming up for Colorado State if they want to get to that top spot or set themselves up better for the conference tournament. They got to find a way to get some of these hard wins.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a really tricky week, at New Mexico tonight, and then you quickly turn around and play at UNLV, Saturday evening. And we know what UNLV did to CSU a couple weeks ago. So this is a really tricky weekend. It's one of those tough ones, when you're talking NCAA tournament, is if you win both these games, neither of them are really great resume wins. But if you lose them, especially New Mexico, it's a damaging one to the resume. But obviously, both these teams are good enough to win these games over CSU. So it's a really tricky week. And like I say, this is where, you kind of separate who wins the league with tricky road conference games like this.
Kevin, one football question for you. Just looking at the schedule yesterday, what do you think, man? I mean, just eyeballing the schedule and knowing what you know right now, and again, we haven't had spring ball, none of that stuff, but we're seeing at least guys on the roster. Is this a bowl team? Is this Colorado State football team a bowl team next year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you say, we're way too far out, but you say your non-conference play, you hope for 2-2, win your two home games, lose your two Power Five conference road games. And then, I don't think you have to work too hard to find how you could get to 6-6 in this schedule. That'd be 4-4 in conference play. It won't be easy. There are some teams, including CSU, where it's really hard to evaluate. They have so many, they're going to have so many new starters this year that it's hard to figure out where they'll be. But on the surface and based on what we know about some of these guys coming in and the style of play, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that CSU can get 6 wins out of that schedule.
Well, we're looking forward to that too. There's a buzz about CSU. Obviously, the basketball team poised to do some great things, and there's still this nice buzz around the football program. I don't know that when the last time you kind of had both collectively bringing in this much fanfare, this much excitement.
Yeah, I mean that's very true. Obviously, football team is all based on off-season stuff, so hopefully they can start get some wins to really continue it. But yeah, it's an exciting time for CSU athletics. I think most things seem to be pulling in the right direction.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, we'll catch up with you later via phone for our College Hoops tip-off show. I know Chris will be in studio, and we'll look forward to catching up with you a little bit later around 5 o'clock, so that'll be fun.
Absolutely excited for it. The whole show and the College Hoops tip-off show hitting the road this week.
And you got the hat, too, my friend. I mean, my goodness, you're bringing us with you. I feel like I'm right there with you in that dark, dark, empty arena.
Yeah, well, I felt like I needed some company waking up at whatever it was, 4 a.m. to head down to the airport. So I brought the whole show with me.
I love it, my friend. Kevin, appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you later today.
Sounds good. Talk to you in a bit.
All right. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You want diehard, in-depth CSU Rams coverage? You're going to talk to Kevin Lytle. You're going to read the Coloradoan. You're going to check out his Twitter page. Love the mailbag that he does as well. On the Rocks, Liquor's bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from Odell Brewing in Fort Collins. Positive Latitude IPA. Pick up selections from Odell's or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. This Friday is Loveland Ale Works will be on hand with free tastings from 4 to 7. So right there, supporting two local breweries. Loveland Ale Works tomorrow, 4 to 7, free tastings, and Game Beer of the Week from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins. 48 minutes after the hour. Don't forget, Rams fans, we're going to bring on perhaps some of the more diehard Rams fans out there. That's the Outlaws of Moby. Really great story about them. Their story's getting out there. They wanted to raise money so they could get to Las Vegas for the Mountain West Basketball Tournament. Had a lot of fans donating, a lot of other people donating, but CSU head coach Nico Medved and his wife Erica put together a nice donation that helped them get over the top so that they could go support this Rams team in the Mountain West Conference Tournament. We're going to talk to them. I don't know how many there are, JD, and we need to bring in more chairs, I think, so we'll need to do that. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want to win cash for that flawless bracket? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge for your chance to win $500. Keep listening to 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Fifty-four minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, and it's official. JD, the Outlaws of Moby are in the building. At least four of the seven, which is probably a good thing because this studio is not like a mansion or anything. But we're excited to get those guys in. What a story about these guys! And I want to get the they're freshmen. So this is a brand new tradition that I'm hoping they could carry it on, and who knows, maybe there's other guys that carry it on. Really cool story. Got to talk to them a little bit during the break, but I'm looking forward to it. They got together a GoFundMe account because they got together, they're college kids, right? So they're like, we want to go to Las Vegas, we want to go to the Mountain West basketball tournament. They're diehard fans, so they put together a GoFundMe page to raise money for the trip. After posting the page, they received a donation of $900 from Nico and Erica Medved, helping them eclipse their goal. Their goal was $1,500. How cool is that, man? I mean, that is a head coach that gets it. This is a fan base that gets it. Really fun. A lot of fun. So we're going to talk to them in the second hour. Our Method Flow products poll question of the day is up. Eastside Chris says, Brady Barton looked good last night. Oh, I'm sorry. He was on the bench for the fourth quarter. Haven't even got into that yet. Barton has certainly taken a step back. And we'll get into more Nuggets talk in the second hour. But our Method Flow products poll question of the day. Do you think that Ed McCaffrey, head coach Ed McCaffrey for the UNC Bears, will revive this program? There's been a lot of interesting stuff going on, you know, surrounding him and everything. And again, my honest opinion is it's all blowing over. It's all blowing over. The financial aid stuff, I don't think is sticking. I think it was too airtight to get through any of that stuff. And again, some of the ideas surrounding his connection with the players or whatever. Listen, I'll tell you right now, he's got a tough road to hoe. As you know, the Big Sky Conference is a tough place to play in all of FCS. But UNC has, you know, their facilities don't stack up very well. And very well at all against the rest of the Big Sky. So whether it was Ed McCaffrey or Jimmy Dean over there on the other side of the glass, it's a tough road to hoe to try to win some football games. Can he do it? Can they revive this program that really ever since joining D1, they've never been able to do it? So go vote at thewholeshow.com. The Method Flow products poll question of the day. Do you believe that head coach Ed McCaffrey will revive the UNC football program? We'll have that discussion in the second hour. We got the Outlaws of Moby coming in next on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.